Turn your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 14, and we'll be reading verses 6 through 12 of Joshua chapter 14. I'll read the even verses if you'll join with me on those odd verses. Again, Joshua chapter 14, and once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 14, beginning verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was mine. Nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be in thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day, as I was in that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And let's pray this morning. God, again, it's good to open up this good book. And Lord, the opportunity we have this morning to come and to be in your house. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would meet with us. The power would come down from on high. I pray that we would have that a heart of wanting to yearn, wanting to learn from you this morning. Be this special prepare arts before the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose the road of Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Remind me, dear Lord.
healthy song right there, good for us this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number 12. We'll look at some of the other verses in the passage that we read with Brother Bragg a moment ago. But I want you to see where Caleb said, "Now therefore," in verse 12, "give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the Caleb spirit. The Caleb spirit. Let's pray together and ask His blessing. Father, we do need to be reminded of Your love for us. Thank You for the good song that so touched us, Lord, and reminded us just how much You love us and what You did for us by going to Calvary and bearing our sins in Your own body upon that tree and paying the price for our salvation through Your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. And I pray, Lord, for anybody here this morning not saved, that You'll reach out and touch them through the ministry of Your Word and, Lord, through Your ministry of Your Spirit. And help me this morning touch my tongue, my lips, my words, and then touch our ears that we all might be anointed today to get from the Word exactly what You want us to get. God, stir us, help us this morning is my prayer. Depending upon You to answer it, I pray it in Your Son Jesus' name. And amen. How many of us have clear recollection of a conversation that took place 45 years ago? Now, think about that. Now, that knocks out, obviously, a bunch of you because you weren't even born 45 years ago. So let's start with those who are maybe 55 and over. How many of you, 55 and over, how many of us have a clear recollection of a conversation that took place when we were 10? I have a hard time having a clear recollection of conversations that took place last week, much less 45 years ago. Now, there are certain moments and, you know, sentences, I guess, and comments and words that are embedded in our memory and we never forget. But we're talking about conversations that took place 45 years ago. In our text, Caleb reminds Joshua of a conversation that took place between him and Moses and Joshua 45 years earlier than here in Joshua chapter 14. It's the story I referred to last week in the message on the subject of when babies die. 45 years earlier, Moses had sent 12 spies to check out the land of Canaan. Most of you understand or know that story. There were 12 spies that went in to look it out. They didn't go in to spy out the land to see if it was God's will for them to go into the land of Canaan. It was already God's will for them to go in. They went in to find out what was there and know what they were up against. Well, they got in there and they saw the giants and they saw the difficulties. And there were giants in the land. Make no mistake about it. And 10 of those spies came out of there with what the Bible calls an evil report. And they said, "We can't go in." Isn't that interesting that their negativity was defined by God as an evil report? Sometimes, folks, the comments of "we can't," "I can't," is a lack of faith. I want to tell you something. That's evil. That's evil. And so they came out of there, "We can't do it." And the two, Joshua and Caleb, they said, "Oh, yes, we can. God will help us do it. It's God's will." And you got 10 verses 2. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. And you know the little song. And the crowd listened to the 10 spies. And they turned back at the border of the land of Canaan and did not enter it, did not go into the promised land when God had told them to go in. And God was upset with them. And at that time, God, through Moses, made Caleb and Joshua a promise. Look at it in verse number 9. He's reminding Joshua. Caleb is reminding Joshua what Moses said. And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land..." Now he's talking to Joshua and Caleb. "Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." You know what Moses said? "Moses, I want to tell you what God's telling me to tell you guys. God wants you to know that everywhere your feet have walked over in the land of Canaan, that's going to be your land for an inheritance, and not just yours, your children's forever." He made them that promise. Caleb was 40 years old when God made him that promise through Moses. You see that in verse number 7. 40 years old was I. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. He's 40 when God makes that promise. Now, according to verse number 10, look at it. Verse number 10, "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years. 40 plus 45. He's 85 years old. And for 45 years, he has reminded himself of that promise that God made him. And now, he wants to claim what is his. And so he says to Moses, give me that mountain. God promised it to me 45 years ago. And a lot has happened, a lot is going on, but I want that mountain. Now friend, I don't know about you, but when I read through this story in God's Word, you know, there are some passages I read through because it's my responsibility and duty, and they don't always stir my heart. I think it's good to read it anyway. But every time I get ready, I get to Joshua 12, I know what's coming in chapter 14. I get to chapter 14, it turns my crank. The Caleb spirit. Watch, if ever there was a fella that was named rightly, it was Caleb Hansen, wasn't it? He had that guy had the Caleb spirit. And I don't know what it does to you, but it just turns my crank. When I read this, I long for Caleb's kind of spirit. And that's the thing that I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, let's face it, you know, not many people at age 85 have the same strength that they did at age 40. Maybe Caleb didn't, but he thought he did. He thought he did. and you know, my dad, you know, he's in the early stages of Alzheimer's, if you want to call it early. Maybe it's more progressed now. And he has moments, you know, good days, bad days, good times, bad times. Mom woke up the other morning. He was looking around in the bedroom, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing, Robert? I got to find a place to put the fish. And she said, what fish are you talking about? There's no fish. She said, yeah, the boys and I caught a lot of fish. And I got to put the fish away. And she said, honey, there's no fish. He said, well, I tell you what, you're not getting any tomorrow. And so he fixed her. And he put her in her place, I'll tell you. And so, of course, you know, there was no fish. But anyway, so he told me on the phone the other day. He said, I'm coming up there in springtime. I'm going to till your garden and cut your grass. I'm going to plant your grass. I said, Dad, you. He said, I'm strong as an ox. I'm strong as an ox. I said, okay, well, come on. You know what? Come on up, man. Help yourself. If you want to do all that for me, I'd love to have you plow my garden and take care of it. But he's strong as an ox. He says he's strong as an ox. He's not, but he thinks he is. And that's the kind of spirit. You know, Caleb, obviously, he had strength. If he wasn't as strong as he was at age 40, he didn't think it. He didn't know it, buddy. He thought he was as strong as he was at age 40. But, you know, the physical strength, that's not the target of my message this morning. The target is the fact that here was a man who was just as excited at age 85 as he was at age 40. And I'm going to tell you something. That's miraculous when you consider all that they went through. And my desire is not necessarily to climb and claim mountains at age 85. My desire is to not lose the want to. And I'm not talking about physical mountains. I'm not talking about mountains in the south or mountains out west. I'm talking about higher ground in the will of God. I'm talking about claiming and enjoying everything that God planned for me to have as a child of God. I'm not talking about physical things. I'm talking about spiritual heights with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Now, what about his spirit? He kept his spirit between that day when he was 40 and this day when he's 85. How did he do that? There's more we can talk about in the time we're allowed. A couple of points and we'll be done. First of all, he never lost sight of God's promise. He never lost sight of God's promise. He had to not. He couldn't lose sight of God's promise. In verse 9, he was 40. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses made us the promise, Joshua. I was 40. I don't know how old Joshua was. But Caleb was 40, and God made us that promise. And now in verse number 10, he's 85 years old. So for 45 years, Caleb never lost sight of God's promise. 45 years. And by the way, church, they're not the easy years either. You're talking about 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. You're talking about 5 years of fighting in the land of Canaan. 45 difficult, tough, rough years. And yet somehow, through all of that, Caleb never lost sight of God's promise. through the ups and the downs and the victories and the defeats and the gains and the losses. He just never lost sight of God's promise. Never lost sight of it. You know, this is more incredible than a 5-year-old remembering that his dad promised to take him to the zoo on Saturday. You know, dad tells him we're going to go to the zoo next Saturday. And he wakes up on Sunday and says, is today Saturday? And then he wakes up on Monday and says, is today Saturday? Then he wakes up on Tuesday, is today Saturday? You know, and I mean, if you promise him something that's 4 weeks out, you better plan to do it for him because they're not going to forget. All right, but this is more amazing than that. This guy, for 45 years, he never lost sight of the promise of God. Now, friend, listen. When God saved us, He planned a journey for us. A journey of growth, a journey of maturity, a journey of climbing to new heights in His will. God planned a journey for each one of us when He saved us. He wanted to take us somewhere. He wanted us to grow close to Him. He wanted us to get to know Him. He wanted us to experience His love, fully experience it. Like Paul the Apostle prayed for the church, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God's love. He wanted us to have joy and peace and fulfillment. He wanted us to be filled with His Spirit. He wanted us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires or the lust of the flesh. He wanted us to influence people for Christ. He wanted us to have fervent charity among ourselves. You say, Pastor, how do you know all that? Because in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul wrote, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That was His promise to them. That was Paul's. That was not just Paul's promise. That was God's promise to those Philippian believers. I've started a good work in you, and I'm going to keep doing that work, and I'm going to keep doing that work, and I'm going to keep working on you, and keep growing you, and keep maturing you until the day you see Jesus Christ. People, that was His promise. And that's not just true about the Philippian believers. That's true about you and me here at Faith Baptist Church. He's not done. He's got a work to do in my life, in your life. That was His promise in the day that He saved us. I'm going to take you on a journey. You're going to climb new heights with me. But guess what? Things happen. Things happen to Caleb. Between the day the promise was made and the day he actually got the mountain, things happened. Think about what he endured. Think about what he lived through. He saw rebels fuel an uprising and saw them die as the earth split open and swallowed them up. He watched as many died because they were bitten by poisonous serpents because of their murmuring and their complaining. They wandered from place to place to place. Caleb, for 45 years, endured disappointment after disappointment. After disappointment, people, his feet were in the land of Canaan. He was in the land. He was there. They could have crossed over right then and he could have been living there for 45 years. But instead, he's wandering in the wilderness. And it wasn't his fault. But some things happen. Things go wrong, and things go wrong in my life, and sometimes things go wrong in your life, and sometimes it's our fault, and sometimes it's not. But you know what? Caleb never forgot the promise. Things happen to God's people today after they get saved. Things happen that cause our journey with God to take unplanned detours. And you know, I think about that word disappointments. Disappointments. How many people have stalled on their journey with Christ because of disappointment? How many? Disappointment in yourself. You know, I can't tell you sometimes, I can't tell you how many times Terry Angel has been disappointed with himself. Just upset with myself. Things I should have had victory over are still dragging down. I get disappointed in myself. You know, sometimes it's disappointment in family members. It's disappointment. Sometimes it's disappointment in leaders. Sometimes it's disappointment in circumstances. Look, you know, when I first got saved, I hadn't been saved 2 years before the man who won me to Christ and the man whose home I was at, the man who preached me to Christ and the man whose boy's home I was at, was over. Both of those men were out of the ministry. Disappointment in others. Disappointment in leaders. Disappointment in circumstances. You know, everybody faces some measure of disappointment. I was thinking the other day, as I was putting all these thoughts together on paper, I was thinking about a brother who's here this morning and is serving God faithfully and really just making he's an influence for Christ. And they were there some years ago in our church he and his family had come for a while. I think I told you this before. And then I didn't see them. And I didn't see them for a week or two or three or four. I thought, wow, man. I thought they were sick or maybe out of town, but this thing's extended. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to harp on people. You don't want to camp out on people's doorsteps. You don't want to, you know, make it seem like I think you're not coming because you're backslidden. You don't want people to think that. So after a while, though, I thought, okay, I gotta contact him. So I picked up the phone and I called him. And he said, you know what? He said, I was just going to call you. I thought about it earlier. I said, well, God must want us to get together. He said, yeah, so let's get together. So we met over here in the conference room. And he came in. I said, man. I said, brother, I don't want to harp on you or anything, but I just haven't seen you. He said, we've been visiting some other churches. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, what's up? Talk to me. He said, well, you know, when brother so-and-so bit the dust. And here when he came, he and his family, they got in serving the Lord. And he got into a ministry with one of the finest Christian men that served God in our church for many, many years. But that guy's life fell apart. And this new member, this new man in our church, he so looked up and so appreciated and so loved that man that when that man's life fell apart, it nearly destroyed him. It's called disappointment. Disappointment. But he said, you know what, Pastor? He said, there's nowhere else to go. And he and his family have been, and they're as happy as a coon in the cornfield with the hound dogs tied this morning. Amen. And serving God, and their children are happy and loving the Lord. So you know what, folks? But I'm talking about disappointment comes to people. And hear me, when disappointment comes, it can cause us to stall out and lose sight of God's promise. But listen to me this morning. God never quits on us. We quit on God. But God does not quit on us. And that was His promise. From the day that He saved us, being confident, saved man, being confident, saved lady, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And disappointments come, and sometimes we get stalled out and horribly, you know, at times we quit on God, but He does not quit on us. Some years ago, after you got saved, some time ago, after you got saved, there were holy aspirations, and there were holy desires, and there were holy dreams, and they were good, and they were godly, and they were spiritual, and yet, you know, disappointment or whatever, you stalled out. But I want you to know this morning that God's promise is still good. And He wants to and will continue to work if you'll just get started again on the journey. What new heights await you in the near future? What mountain peak is out there that you still can climb for the glory of God? God hasn't quit on you yet. Not quit on you. Don't quit on Him. Don't quit on Him. Don't sit down. Don't stall out. Man, somehow, Caleb, for 45 years, he kept his eyes on that promise. God made me a promise. God made me a promise. God made me a promise. His feet had already touched the land of Canaan, and for 40 years, he wandered in the wilderness, stalled on his journey, no doubt disappointed, but yet never losing sight of God's promise. You know, sometimes we're just hypocritical. We really are. And we see, you know, we'll turn from time to time in our songbook to page 78. And Brother Tom will lead us in that great hymn. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. When's the last time you prayed that? See, not only are we living on flat land, we're content to be there. We flat landed. Well, this didn't work out, and you know, my child, and more my parent, or my spouse, or my job, or this, or you know, I was in another church, and this pastor, and you know, okay, but God didn't quit. God didn't quit on you. So don't quit on Him. Not only are we not pressing on, we don't even want to. They don't care if we do. We've stalled out. We're content just to reside on flat land instead of obtaining some new height in our lives for Christ. Folks, is it too hard to believe God's promise? You know what we do? We measure God by man's standard. Has a man ever broken his promise to you? Have I may have broken a promise to you. I'm not beyond or above that. But as God, we can't measure God by man's standard. You know, some person, somebody may make us a promise. He promised till death do us part, but he walked out. Okay. She promised till die. I understand. I understand the disappointment, but you can't stall it. Oh, it's going to hurt. Oh, you're going to shed some tears. You're going to suffer some inner emotional turmoil. But God hasn't quit. I think some in this room need a baptism of Caleb's spirit. It's been a long time since you even wanted to get to some newer height. Are you really content to be where you are? I don't want to live on flat land. I want to climb the heights that God, how far down the road in this journey God has designed for you. Have you traveled? Do you still want to seize the land God intended for you to have? Friend, never lose sight of God's promise. He promised to continue working on me and working on you until the day we see Jesus. Don't forget God's promise. Don't forget it. Man, let it stir you. Read this passage this afternoon. Ask God to speak to you. Let the power, let the Spirit of God work in your heart and stir you again in your journey with God. Don't be content just to sit stalled out because of some disappointment on the road of life. Never lost sight of God's promise. Number two, we're done. He never lost sight of God's power. Look what he said in verse number 12. You see what he said there? It's at the very end of the verse. He said, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You know what Caleb said? He said, if God goes with me, I'll be able to do it. Now, folks, guess what was still on that mountain? Giants. Now, are you listening? 45 years, they hadn't gone anywhere. So if Caleb's going to get that mountain, he's still going to have to fight the giants. But guess what? 45 years earlier, in Numbers 14:8, this is what he said. If the Lord delight in us, he's trying to get all the nation of Israel to go into the land of Canaan. Hey, come on, guys. If the Lord delight in us, He will bring us into this land and give it us. Does that sound familiar to what he said? In Joshua chapter 14, it's the same thing. Because Caleb never did figure that he could do it, but he knew that God could do it. He didn't lose sight of God's promise, and he didn't lose sight of God's power. He had the same spirit, the same attitude 45 years earlier that he had earlier, 45 years earlier. He still possessed confidence, but the confidence wasn't in himself. It was in God's power. And church, God's power has not changed. And you may think that it is hopeless, and you know, Yes, you would like to go on to new heights, and yes, you would like to climb some new mountains, and yes, you'd like to claim some new heights for the Lord, but you have decided and convinced yourself that you can't. I'd like to tell you this morning, you're right. You're right. But just don't stop there. You can't, but God can. It's the same thing that Caleb said, 45. Joshua, I could hear him maybe talking. Maybe this is speculation a little bit, a little reading between the lines. Caleb, you really think you can get that mountain? Oh, yeah. Well, there's still giants up there, Doc. Yeah, I know. But hey, if I could have had it 45 years ago because God was with me then, and I have it now because it's not me, it's God working through me. God's power is still available today. Here was my prayer this week. Please, God, help us to realize it is Your power that makes it possible for us to conquer. If you want to conquer. That's where a lot of the problem is. There's just no desire. Flatlanders. But if you want to conquer something, I'm talking about some new height for God. That God planned the day that He saved you. Don't forget His promise to never quit working with you and through you and on you. And don't forget His power, friend. Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that worketh in us. I told you I've been very ashamed, very convicted of poor faith prayer in my own life, where it's like I have to convince myself in prayer time that God can do what I've asked Him to do. And I've made a conscious effort in prayer time to stop praying with reserve and start praying with confidence, not in me, but in Him. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about this journey that God started us on whenever He saved us. And He's promised to keep working on us. And the journey is to climb. And it may not be everybody's journey is different. That's not important. What's important is that we're moving ahead on this journey that God planned for us. We're not stalled out. It's not our power. It's not our strength. It's not our might. It's not our ability that takes us up the mountain that is in front of us. It never was our strength. You say, you know, Pastor, when I first got saved, I started out just, wow. And I did so well. But sister, brother, when you started out, it never was your strength to begin with. It was God's. Whatever you started with is still available. God's power. His ability. It was His strength. It was His power that got us started. It was His power, His strength that saved us. And then got us started. And it's God's power that will get you and me and us going and growing again. It's His power. Yes, there will be obstacles. And yes, there will be hurdles. And maybe even adversaries. But with God's power, the mountain can be claimed. I'm stirred. My heart is stirred. Stir the embers of the fire that used to burn this morning. Folks, stir the embers. Through God's promise and God's power, claim some new heights for God's glory. You know, I have a wood stove at the house, and we burn wood there. I enjoy a wood stove. I like wood heat. But I can see the day coming when I won't burn wood. Maybe just, you know, celebratory. Little fire. Why? It's too much work. And nobody's there to do it but me. But you know, you have a roaring fire, and we use it as a primary source of heat in the wintertime for our great room and our bedroom upstairs and the other parts of the house. And we'll get a roaring fire in that thing. And then when it's bedtime, I'll shut her down. Shut her down. I'll close those two dampers in the front of that stove all the way tight. I'll close the damper in the stove pipe all the way tight. Just shut her down. And you know, I wake up at 5:30, 5 o'clock, whatever day of the week it is, depending if it's 5 or 5:30 on whatever day of the week. I go downstairs and pop open that damper in the stove pipe and roll those two dampers, open those two dampers on the front of that stove, open those doors. You know what's still in there? Coals. I throw a little fresh wood in that thing, stir it up a little bit with this poker, throw a little fresh wood in there and close it up and leave those dampers wide open. I can hear it. I can hear it. Sucking wind. Boy, when you hear that thing go like that, pretty soon you hear that crack, crack, crack. That fire's burning. I will tell you this morning, you may be stalled out on your journey for God, but in your heart, there's still some coals. What you need is a new wind. Not an earthly wind. You need a heavenly wind. Because there was a day when you loved everything about being saved. There was a day when you loved your Bible. You loved to come to church. You loved just living a clean life. You loved it. As you stalled. I don't know how this guy did it for 45 years. He endured disappointment after disappointment after disappointment for 45 years. And on that day, that final day here, he said, okay, Joshua, for 45 years I've never lost sight of God's promise, and for 45 years I've never lost sight of God's power. Give me my mountain. Man. Said, Brother Terry, you ever stalled out in your Christian life? More times than I care to count. More times than I care to count. But somehow, some way, through the disappointments, through whatever, in myself, maybe others, I've just hung on to God's promise and hung on to God's power. Remind myself it never was you in the beginning, Buster. It was God. I hope it'll stir your heart this morning. The Caleb spirit. Ask God to baptize you with the spirit of Caleb and start experiencing what God planned for you to experience. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. Father in heaven, would you take the message from your word, please, and stir our hearts with it. I pray, God, that it won't be just a stirring, but the stirring will be the beginning. And I pray that you'll take the embers and the coals that are embedded deep in our hearts this morning and blow upon them through the power of your Spirit. May your Spirit sweep through this auditorium this morning, Lord, and stir the embers and the coals in people's hearts. And God, may folks return to a fervor and an intensity for you that they used to have. Help me, Lord, please. Bless the folks here. God, do a work in us. You said that you would. That was your promise. Help us to believe it and act on it. And Lord, it was your power that was going to accomplish it. It never was ours. Help us to claim your power this morning. Change us. I pray today. May this one day in church be a day that we won't forget. It'll be a helpful thing for us. In Christ's name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, pray for me somewhere during along the course of the message this morning. The Spirit of God spoke to me in a very specific way. Would you raise your hand this morning? Let me just pray with you about it. God bless you. I see those. Anybody else? See, it starts. Sometimes it starts right there with just a thank you. Take it down with just a simple raise of the hand that says, you know what? I heard, I listened, and it hit home. That's where it starts. It's where the wind starts blowing. Don't stay stalled on your journey, friend. Don't stay stalled on your journey. Pray for me. I should have raised my hand a moment ago. I don't want to be obstinate to the Lord. Pray for me. I should have raised my hand a moment ago. God spoke to me. Would you slip your hand up and join the others? God bless you. Amen. Father, God, do a work in our hearts. You said you would. Help us to let you do it. And I pray, God, that that work will just do something wonderful for us. Take us on to some new height for you. Not so we can glory in it or gloat about it, but Lord, so that we can better honor you and serve you. Just touch the hearts of these folks that lifted a hand this morning. Had enough concern and care to do that. God, touch them. I pray this morning. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I have no clue, no assurance that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me, Pastor Angel? I won't call your name, pray for you by name. I may not know it. But if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, can you just slip your hand up today? And let me ask God to help you with that. God bless you. Is there another? You're not sure that you're saved. Thank you. You may take your hand down. I appreciate your honesty this morning. If you're not sure that you're saved, and you mean business, you want to know for sure, and you're not here just to play a game, why don't you come right now and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to get saved this morning. You can step out and come, and we'll let somebody take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. We have men to show men, ladies to show ladies how to be saved. You can do that now or at the invitation time. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, why don't you take that first step of obedience and step out today and obey the Lord in believer's baptism, and that would make God very, very pleased. But Christian, you just, if God stirred you this morning, if God worked in you, and He said He would do that, if you're stalled out, why don't you come and ask Him to give you the Caleb spirit. Get your eyes back on His promise. Get your eyes back on His power, and don't lose sight of it. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation this morning. Would you obey God and come? Would you help us today by doing that? We don't need a show. We just need obedient people to do what God wants us to do. Would you come? Well, our hearts are quiet before the Lord this morning. A new height, a new glory. And if you're not stalled out on the journey now, maybe you will be in the future. Don't lose sight of God's promise. Don't lose sight of His power. Maybe right there on your knees or in your seat, you just pray, God, help me. God, help me, please. Thank you.